What World Famous Men Said About the Jews is a video version of the book by the same name, written and compiled by Dr. E.R. Fields. This video is not held in copyright and may be freely distributed in any format and through any medium. The Jews are the only people in the world who have found hostility in every country in which they settled in any numbers. The big question is, why? Today it is taught in schools that anti-Semitism began in Germany in the 1930s, after which they were deported. What is not studied is the fact that at one time or other, the Jews have been expelled from every nation in Europe. The Jews claim that they are only a religion. The truth is that the Jews are a race. Less than 30% are members of any synagogue, whether they are Orthodox religious, atheists, capitalists, or communists, they still claim to be Jews, members of the Jewish race. Every race has inherited traits. In the case of the Jews, they include trading, money changing, usury, and a loathing for productive labor, which is scorned as beneath the dignity of the Jews in their Bible called the Talmud. The Jew has not changed since the days when Jesus Christ took up a whip and drove the money changers out of the temple. Jews have always united to form monopolies. Today they control all the department store chains and specialty shops, along with the lucrative jewelry and animal fur trade. Jews dominate the fields of all precious metals such as gold, silver, platinum, tin, lead, etc. They will always band together to drive Gentile competitors out of business. Today, America is being flooded with Jewish immigrants from Russia, and many leave Israel for the United States, all with dollar signs in their eyes. Jews have used their vaunted money power to seize control of the Democratic Party and constitute over 50% of all its financial contributions. Today, they are buying up more and more major U.S. companies. While only 3% of the population, the Jew controls over 25% of the nation's wealth, and this percentage rises every year. They are the only racial group totally organized to work for political domination over America. Opposition to the Jews did not begin in Germany, but dates back before the birth of Christ, over 2,000 years ago. Study the statements made by the world's greatest men. They reveal why the wandering Jew has made enemies out of every host country that ever accepted them. Cicero: softly, softly, I want none but the judges to hear me. The Jews have already gotten me into a fine mess, as they have many other gentlemen. I have no desire to furnish further grist for their mills. Cicero was serving as defense counsel at the trial of Flaccus, a Roman official who interfered with Jewish gold shipments to their international headquarters, then as now in Jerusalem. Cicero himself certainly was not a nobody, and for one of this stature to have to speak softly shows that he was in the presence of a dangerously powerful sphere of influence. And on another occasion, Cicero wrote, "The Jews belong to a dark and repulsive force. One knows how numerous this clique is, how they stick together, and what power they exercise through their unions. They are a nation of rascals and deceivers." He had furthermore stated, "The customs of that most criminal nation have gained such strength that they have now been received in all lands. The conquered have given laws to the conquerors." Diocasius, the second century Roman historian, describing the savage Jewish uprising against the Roman Empire that has been acknowledged as the turning point downward in the course of that great state, said, "The Jews were destroying both Greeks and Romans. They ate the flesh of their victims, made belts for themselves out of their entrails, and daubed themselves with their blood. In all, 220,000 men perished in Cyrene, and 240,000 in Cyprus. And for this reason, no Jew may set foot in Cyprus today." Diodorus Siculus, first century Greek historian, Observe that Jews treated other people as enemies and inferiors. Usury is the practice of lending money at excessive interest rates. This has for centuries caused great misery and poverty for Gentiles. It has brought strong condemnation of the Jew. A mild man who extolled patience and charity in normal circumstances, he described himself as a barking dog when dealing with the Jew. Jewish usurers bleed the poor to death and grow fat on their substance. And I, who live on alms, who feed on the bread of the poor, shall I then be mute before outraged charity? Dogs bark to protect those who feed them. And I, who am fed by the poor, shall I see them robbed of what belongs to them and keep silent? In his The Governance of the Jews, he wrote, "The Jews should not be allowed to keep what they have obtained from others by usury. It were best that they were compelled to work so that they could earn their living instead of doing nothing but becoming avaricious." There is already something like a Jewish monopoly in high finance. There is the same element of Jewish monopoly in the silver trade and in the control of various other metals, notably lead, nickel, quicksilver. What is most disquieting of all, this tendency to monopoly is spreading like a disease. In 1937, Bemis stated, "The Bauer War occurred 37 years ago. Bauer means farmer. Many criticize a great power like Britain for trying to wipe out the Bauers. Upon making inquiry, I found all the gold and diamond mines of South Africa were owned by Jews. That Rothschild-controlled gold, Samuels-controlled silver, Baum-controlled other mining, and Moses-controlled base metals. Anything these people touch, they inevitably pollute. The Montefiores have taken Australia for their own, and there is not a gold field or a sheep run from Tasmania to New South Wales that does not pay them a heavy tribute. They are the real owners of the Antipodean continent. What is the good of our being a wealthy nation if the wealth is all in the hands of German Jews? All the world suffers from the usury of the Jews, their monopolies and deceit. They have brought many unfortunate people into a state of poverty, especially the farmers, working class people, and the very poor. Then, as now, Jews have to be reminded intermittently anew that they were enjoying rights in any country since they left Palestine and the Arabian Desert, and subsequently their ethical and moral doctrines, as well as their deeds, rightly deserve to be exposed to criticism in whatever country they happen to live. Since the earliest times, it is as the exploiter that the Jew has been known amongst his fellow men of all races and creeds. Moreover, he has persistently shown himself ungrateful. The Jews have always formed a rebellious element in every state. The day will come when all nations, amidst which the Jews are dwelling, will have to raise the question of their wholesale expulsion, a question which will be one of life or death, good health or chronic disease, peaceful existence or perpetual social fever. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." Then answered the Jews. From the Gospel of John. But the Jews are so hardened that they listen to nothing. Though overcome by testimonies, they yield not an inch. It is a pernicious race, oppressing all men by their usury and rapine. If they give a prince or magistrate 1,000 florins, they extort 20,000 from the subjects in payment. We must ever keep on guard against them. Let me say just one word about the Jew and the black man. The Jew is always anxious to advise the black man, but he never advises him how to solve the problem the way the Jews solve their problem. The Jew never went sitting in and crawling in and sliding in and freedom riding like he teaches and helps Negroes to do. The Jews stood up and stood together, and they used their ultimate power, the economic weapon. The Jews pooled their money and bought hotels that barred them. Barred the Negro. They bought Atlantic City and Miami Beach and anything else they wanted. Who owns Hollywood? Who runs the garment industry? The largest industry in New York City. But the Jew that's advising the Negro joins the NAACP, CORE, or CORE, the Urban League, and others. With money donations, the Jew gains control. Then he sends the black man doing all this wading in, boring in, even burying in, everything but buying in. Never shows him how to set up factories and hotels. Never advises him how to own what he wants. No, when there's something worth owning, the Jews got it. The Jews were behind all the persecutions of the Christians. They wandered through the country, everywhere hating and undermining the Christian faith. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. He would not walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. From the Gospel of John. Besides, you also have many Jews living in the country who do much harm. You should know the Jews blaspheme and violate the name of our Savior day for day. For that reason you, my lords, and men of authority, should not tolerate but expel them. They are our public enemies and incessantly blaspheme our Lord Jesus Christ. They call our Blessed Virgin Mary a harlot and her holy son a bastard. And to us, they give the epithet of changelings and abortions. Therefore, deal with them harshly as they do nothing but excruciatingly blaspheme our Lord Jesus Christ, trying to rob us of our lives, our health, our honor and belongings. Henceforth, no Jew, no matter under what name, will be allowed to remain here without my written permission. I know of no other troublesome pest within the state than this race, which impoverishes the people by their fraud, usury, and money lending, and commits all deeds which an honorable man despises. Subsequently, they have to be removed and excluded from here as much as possible. The Talmud taught the Jews to steal the goods of Christians, to regard them as savage beasts, to push them over the precipice, to kill them with impunity, and to utter every morning the most horrible imprecations against them. The Jewish religion now takes its stand on the Talmud rather than on the Bible. No obstacle discourages them. They persevere throughout the world, throughout the centuries. The unity of their race. The Talmud has given them a powerful organization which modern progress has been unable to change. Deep, ineradicable hatred of everything that is not Jewish stimulates them in war, which they wage against Christian society, which is too divided to be able to fight with necessary energy. Indeed, it is because we, the Gentiles, are divided in so many groups, whether it be race, denomination, or some other division, that keeps us from uniting against this common, terrible enemy. The Jews form a state, and, obeying their own laws, they evade those of their host country. The Jews always consider an oath regarding a Christian not binding. During the campaign of 1812, the Jews were spies. They were paid by both sides. They betrayed both sides. They are the real liars and bloodhounds who have not only perverted and falsified the entire scriptures from beginning to end, and without ceasing with their interpretations, the sun never did shine on a more bloodthirsty and revengeful people as they, who imagine to be the people of God, and who desire to and think they must murder and crush the heathen. And the foremost undertaking which they expect of their Messiah is that he should slay and murder the whole world with the sword, as they at first demonstrated against us Christians, and would like to do now, if they only could, have also tried it often, and have been repeatedly struck on the snouts. Thus, wherever they can direct Scripture to their insatiable avarice, they wickedly do so. Therefore know, my dear Christians, that next to the devil, you have no more bitter, more poisonous, more vehement an enemy than a real Jew who earnestly desires to be a Jew. In history, therefore, they are often accused of poisoning wells, stealing children, and mutilating them, as in Trent, Wittsensee, and the like. Of course, they deny this, be it so or not. However, I know full well that the ready will is not lacking with them if they could only transform it into deeds, in secret or openly. Let the Jews take from their purse and chest, steal and rob whatever they will. That is, they permit themselves and their subjects to be abused and sucked dry and reduced to beggars with their own money through the usury of the Jews. For the Jews, as foreigners, certainly should have nothing from us, and what they have certainly must be ours. They do not work, do not earn anything from us, neither do we donate or give it to them. Yet they have our money and goods and our lords in our land where they are supposed to be in exile. If a thief steals 10 gulden, he must hang. If he robs people on the highway, his head is gone. But a Jew, when he steals 10 tons of gold through his usury, is dearer than God himself? Did not their Talmud and rabbis write that it is no sin to kill if a Jew kills a heathen, but it is a sin if he kills a brother in Israel? It is no sin if he does not keep his oath to a heathen? Therefore, to steal and rob, as they do with their money lending from a heathen, is a divine service. And they are the masters of the world, and we are their servants, yea, their cattle. I maintain that in three fables of Aesop, should someone think I am saying too much, I am saying much too little. For I see in their writings and how they curse us Goyim and wish us all evil in their schools and prayers. They rob us of our money through usury, and wherever they are able, they play us all manner of mean tricks. No heathen has done such things, and none would do so except the devil himself, and those whom he possesses, as he possesses the Jews. Vergensis, who was a very learned rabbi among them, and by the grace of God became a Christian, which seldom occurs, is much moved that in their schools they so horribly curse us Christians, as Lyra also writes, and from that draws the conclusion that they must not be the people of God. Now behold, what a nice, thick, fat lie it is when they complain about being captives among us. Let us apply the ordinary wisdom of other nations like France, Spain, Bohemia, and all the rest, who made them give an account of what they had stolen through usury, and divided it evenly, but expelled them from their country. For, as heard before, God's wrath is so great over them that through soft mercy they only become more wicked. Through hard treatment, however, only a little better. Therefore, away with them. How much more unbearable it is that we should permit the entire Christendom and all of us to be brought with our own money, be slandered and cursed by the Jews, who on top of all that be made rich and our lords, who laugh us to scorn and are tickled by their audacity. Even with no further evidence than the Old Testament, I would maintain, and no person on earth could alter my opinion, that the Jews, as they are today, are veritably a mixture of all the depraved and malevolent knaves of the whole world over, who have been dispersed in all countries. Lord Harrington opposed admission of Jewish immigrants to England because, quote, they are the great moneylenders and loan contractors of the world. The consequence is that the nations of the world are groaning under heavy systems of taxation and national debt. They have ever been the greatest enemies of freedom. Jews can destroy by means of finance. Jews are international. Control of credits in this country is not in the hands of the English, but of Jews. It has become the biggest danger the British Empire ever had to face. World-famous men of the past accuse the Jews of founding communism. This charge is well-founded. The communist philosophy was drawn up by Karl Marx, who descended from a long line of rabbis. His ideology of anti-Christian and socialist thought is outlined in the Jewish Talmud, which is the Bible of the Jews. Of the four political groups which overthrew the Christian Tsar of Russia, two were 100% Jewish. They were the Mensheviks and the Jewish Bund. The other two were the Socialist Revolutionary Party and the Bolsheviks. Both were headed by Jews, but had some Gentile members. Today we now know that Lenin was Jewish, and all the leaders of his first government were Jews. They were Trotsky, Zinoviev, Kamenev, and Sverdlov. The wealthiest Jewish banker in the world at that time, Jacob Schiff of Kuhn Loeb Investment Bank of New York City, gave Trotsky and Lenin $20 million to overthrow the Tsar and establish the Soviet tyranny. This movement among the Jews is not new. From the days of Spartacus, Weishaupt, to those of Karl Marx, and down to Trotsky, Russia, Bela Kuhn, Hungary, Rosa Luxemburg, Germany, and Emma Goldman, United States, this worldwide revolutionary conspiracy for the overthrow of civilization and for the reconstitution of society on the basis of arrested development, of envious malevolence and impossible equality, has been steadily growing. There's no need to exaggerate the part played in creating the Bolshevism and the actual bringing about the Russian Revolution by these international and for the most part atheistic Jews, and the prominent, if not the principal part, in the system of terrorism applied by the extraordinary commissions for combating counter-revolution has been taken by Jews, and in some notable cases by Jewesses. The same evil prominence was obtained by Jews in the brief period of terror during which Bela Kuhn ruled in Hungary. The same phenomenon has been presented in Germany, especially Bavaria. And they're also sitting upon the German press. They have grabbed hold of all newspapers, and you can imagine what a nauseating literature is the outcome of it. Now, this entire Jewish world, which constitutes an exploiting sect, a people of leeches, a voracious parasite, Marx feels an instinctive inclination and great respect for the Rothschilds. This may seem strange. What could there be in common between communism and high finance? Ho, ho. The communism of Marx seeks a strong state centralization. And where this exists, there must inevitably exist a state central bank. Supposedly anti-Semitic commissars. A Jew cannot be a true patriot. He is something different, like a bad insect. He must be kept apart, out of place, where he can do no mischief, even by pogroms, if necessary. The Jews are responsible for Bolshevism in Russia and Germany, too. I was far too indulgent with them during my reign, and I bitterly regret the favors I showed the prominent Jewish bankers. The troublemakers in Hungary are the Jews. They demoralize our country, and they are the leaders of the revolutionary gang that is torturing Hungary. Jews have always controlled the business. The motion picture influence of the United States and Canada is exclusively under the control, moral and financial, of the Jewish manipulators of the public mind. I consider the immediate suppression of Bolshevism as the greatest issue before the world, not even excluding the war, which is still raging. And unless, as above stated, Bolshevism is nipped in the bud immediately, it is bound to spread in one form or another over Europe and the whole world. As it is organized and worked by Jews who have no nationality and whose one object is to destroy for their own ends the existing order of things. Once the Jewishness of Bolshevism is understood, its otherwise puzzling features become understandable. Hatred of Christianity, for instance, is not a Russian characteristic, it is a Jewish one. The real forces behind Bolshevism in Russia are Jewish forces, and Bolshevism is really an instrument in the hands of the Jews for the establishment of their future messianic kingdom. Theodore Herzl's terrible Jewish power of the purse and revolutionary activity are working in the direction of destroying the entire existing order of things. And not only for they working in a common direction, but there is a mass evidence that they are working in unison. Jews are eager to bring communism because they know what it is and what it means. It is because communism has not been fought for what it really is, a Jewish scheme invented by Jews, that it has progressed against all opposition to it. Roman Catholic popes and their feelings toward the Jews are illustrated as follows. Sylvester I condemned a Jewish anti-Christian activity. Gregory I, the Great, protested wholesale circumcision of Christian slaves by Jewish traders who monopolized the slave trade in Europe and the Middle East and were widely suspected of supplying white girls to Oriental and African buyers. Gregory VIII forbade Jews to have power over Christians. In a letter to Alfonso VI of Castile, Gregory IX condemned the Talmud as containing, quote, every kind of vileness and blasphemy against Christian doctrine, unquote. Benedict XIII, his bull on the Jewish issue, 1450, declared, quote, the heresies, vanities, and errors of the Talmud prevent their knowing the truth, unquote. Julius III, Contra Hebreos Pretendentis Libros, 1554, ordered the Talmud burned everywhere and established a strict censorship over Jewish genocidal writings, an order that has never been rescinded and which presumably is still binding upon Catholics. Paul IV, Cum Nimis Absurdum, 1555, promulgated immediately after his coronation, was a powerful condemnation of Jewish usury. It embodies a model legal code to curb Jewish power that was recommended to all communities. Pius IV condemned Jewish genocidal writings. Pius V, Hebreorum Gens, 1569, expelled all Jews from the Papal States. Gregory XIII declared that Jews, quote, continue to plot horrible crimes against Christians with daily increasing audacity, unquote. Clement VIII condemned Jewish genocidal writings. Alexander VIII condemned Jewish genocidal writings. Benedict XIV, Quo Primum, 1751, denounced Jewish control of commerce and systematical despoliation of the Christian through usury. Pius VII, known generally as an anti-Semite by Jewish writers. Benedict XV warned in 1920 against, quote, the advent of a universal republic which is longed for by all the worst elements of disorder, unquote. This is resented by some Jews because of their active sponsorship and direction of such projects as the League of Nations and United Nations. And in effect, all popes who have issued editions of the Index Expurgatorius, in which Jewish genocidal and anti-Christian writings are condemned, according to the instructions of the Council of Trent. In the U.S. cotton states after the war, the Jew came down in force, set up shop on the plantation, supplied all the Negroes once on credit, and at the end of the season was the proprietor of the Negro share of the present crop and part of the next one. Before long, the whites detested the Jew. The Jew was always ready to lend on a crop. When settlement day came, he owned the crop. The next year, he owned the farm. He had to be banished from the realm. For like reasons, Spain had to banish him 400 years ago, and Austria a couple of centuries later. In all ages, Christian Europe has been obliged to curtail his activities. Since Jews provided most of the agitators and orators who pushed forward the abolition campaign that culminated in the Civil War, which Jewish bankers largely financed on both sides, lest we forget that the slaves were brought over here by the Jews, and that the white colonists had slavery very much illegal before the Jews influenced politics and convinced the white people to make slaves of the Africans. Lack of measures to get rid of the plague would indicate that we are lazy cowards who let ourselves be carried alive to our graves. Why should we not get rid of these parasites who suck Romanian and Christian blood? It is logical and holy to react against them. His comprehension goes further. In a book republished in 1880 by a Spanish Jew, Jesus Christ is called a dead dog that lies, quote, buried in a dunghill, unquote. Several editions, naturally in Hebrew, of the so-called censored pages from the Talmud. Those pages usually omitted in which Christ is exposed to our scorn and hatred as a fool, sorcerer, profane person, idolater, dog, bastard, child of lust, etc. So too, his sublime mother. Through their international news agencies, they mold your minds and have you see the world not as it is, but as they want you to see it. Through their cinema, they are the educators of our youth, and with just one film in 2 hours, can wipe out a child's brain what he has learned in 6 months in the home, the church, or the school. England is no longer controlled by Britons. We are under the invisible Jewish dictatorship, a dictatorship that can be felt in every sphere of life. Henry Wallace, Secretary of Commerce under President Harry Truman, wrote in his diary that in 1946, quote, Truman was exasperated over Jewish pressure that he support Zionist rule over Palestine. Wallace added, quote, President Truman expressed himself as being very much put out with the Jews. He said that Jesus Christ couldn't please him when he was here on earth, so how could anyone expect that I would have any luck? President Truman said he had no use for them and didn't care what happened to them. One by one, the Jews are capturing the principal newspapers of America. Why are the Jews hated? It is the inevitable result of their laws. They either have to conquer everybody or be hated by the whole human race. The Jewish nation dares to display an irreconcilable hatred toward all nations and revolts against all masters, always superstitious, always greedy for the well-being enjoyed by others. I know that there are some Jews in the English colonies. These Muranos go wherever there is money to be made. But whether these circumcised who sell old clothes claim that they are the tribe of Naphtali or Issachar is not of the slightest importance. They are simply the biggest scoundrels who ever dirtied the face of the earth. They are, all of them, born with raging fanaticism in their hearts, just as the Britons and the Germans are born with blonde hair. I would not be in the least bit surprised if these people would not someday become deadly to the human race. Thank you for taking the time to watch this video. May we all one day be free of the domination of the Jews.